Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go. Hour number two, live in LA. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. The Herd brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. Be a sub above. I didn't shave this morning. Don't look very good. I'm just going to be honest with you right now. It's not my best look. But I slept 8.5 hours, and I mean through the night last night. Like I got conked out by a big, object or something. Just out. And so I got up and I'm like, I'm not shaving. I don't care. Sometimes rough Colin is okay for a day.
I think you look great. Oh, no. I didn't even mind the mustache look.
Gives me an edge. I'm like, yeah. I could be
like
edgy.
It was like a phase, you know?
Edgy Colin.
You got to mix it up every once in a while.
So, by the way, before I get to Clat here, and no, I mean that as a friend. The way I said Clat sounded negative, but that's not how I mostly view him. So, I want to talk about something. Carmelo Anthony is my comp here for OBJ. So, Carmelo Anthony came out, was very, very good for about 7-8 years. Like, woo! That dude can score. And then he never really took great care of his body. He increasingly got hurt. But where he really struggled with his career was when he lost the ability to be an elite player and was kind of now a bench player, a great bench player, and he couldn't come to terms with it. That is OBJ. The minute Carmelo said, okay, I'm a bench guy, Portland Lakers, great bench guy. Not a good bench guy. Great. He's averaging 17 a game off the bench for the Lakers. He's one of the top bench guys in the league. He came to terms with it. Oh, this is what I am. OBJ, like Carmelo, whoo, first 5-6 years. Whoo, that could be a Hall of Famer. And then he got brittle. He got hurt. A little bit of drama. And now OBJ's on the market. After an ineffective, thinking he's a guy, he's not really the guy. He struggles in Cleveland. And so now can OBJ come to terms with what he is, which is if you go to the top 7 or 8 receiving cores in the NFL, I can make an argument there'd be, I mean, let's just look at some of the best receiving cores in the NFL. You tell me where OBJ would fit. OBJ, like Melo had this 5-6 year period where he just couldn't come to terms with he's a great bench player. The minute he embraced it, Portland Lakers, he is a great bench player. So let's look at Tampa Bay's wide receiving core right now. That's as good as any in the NFL. Godwin, Evans, Antonio Brown. Where's he fit? Now, you could say he's better than Antonio Brown, but Tom Brady likes Antonio Brown, trusts Antonio Brown, and I'm not going to disrupt Tom Brady's karma and relationship with Antonio Brown. So he literally on a great receiving core, there's no place for OBJ. He sees himself as a star. There's no place. Let's go to the Cardinals. Arizona Cardinals receiving corps. Where, bruh, he ain't DeAndre Hopkins. And there's no way in the world I'm taking touches away from Rondell Moore, the rookie who's sensational. Christian Kirk has a very good relationship with Kyler Murray. I'm not getting in that space. And now it comes down to A.J. Green or Odell Beckham. A.J. Green's less drama. I'm not blowing up my locker room. There's literally, he's not good enough to play for the Cardinals. Like, there's no place for him. Okay, let's go to the Bills. Well, and Stephon Diggs. And Emmanuel Sanders is there every Sunday. Dependable, no drama. And Cole Beasley's an excellent slot receiver. Where are you going to put him? I got a young quarterback. I'm not disrupting. There's no place for him. So, again, OBJ sees himself as a star. Stars are DeAndre Hopkins. If I said DeAndre Hopkins, Buffalo, you'd be like, all right, we're going to move Emmanuel Sanders. We're going to put him out. Okay, let's go to Cowboys. Well, CeeDee Lamb is a young OBJ, I think, but healthy. I'm not moving off that, and I'm not paying him anything. Amari Cooper's one of the best route runners in the league. He's a technician. He and Dak work. I'm not taking my... Okay, Cedric Wilson. So I'd put OBJ over Cedric Wilson. Now, as I say that, that means I hurt the development of Cedric Wilson. But if I think I'm a Super Bowl team, I'd put him ahead of Cedric Wilson. All right, let's go to the Rams. Well, Cooper Kupp has 74 catches. We're not to Thanksgiving. Not moving off that. Robert Woods? Well, Robert Woods is a great blocker. He's probably the most underrated blocking receiver in the league. He knows McVay's system. There's no disruption. This is a great locker room with no drama. And then I could make the argument, okay, I'm going to move him off Van Jefferson. But that's tough because Van Jefferson, they put some time into this kid, is now emerging as it looks like a 60-65 catch player. There's no place for OBJ, who sees himself as a one. Where am I going to put him? Let's do the Seahawks because he wants to go to the Seahawks. Okay, let's look at the Seahawks receivers. Okay, DK Metcalf. I mean, come on. He's like a look at that body. 600 yards. Okay, not moving it. Well, I'm not going to put him over Tyler Lockett. Tyler Lockett and Russell Wilson, they may not this year. I think they had the previous year. The highest completion percentage among quarterback receiver in the league. Freddie Swain, yep, I'd move him. I'd move Freddie to a four and OBJ to a three. I think you can make an argument. But my whole point has been on teams with good receivers, young receiver, old receiver, expensive receiver, he's a bench player. When Carmelo came to terms with that, Carmelo was great. Now, he can go to New England with a rookie quarterback, or he can go to New Orleans with a backup quarterback and be the man. But sometimes in life, you got to get over yourself. You got to come to terms with, this is what I am, and I'm going to own what I am and be great at what I am. Carmelo right now is a fantastic asset for the Lakers. Not because he's a better player than three, or a worse player than 3 years, because he's come to terms with who he is. Own it. OBJ is a one on bad receiving cores, is a two on weak receiving cores. On good receiving cores, there's mostly not a place for him. And with that, the voice of college football, Joel Klatt bringing it today. All right, so let's... You like that?
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah,
I like that.
I came
bearing gifts of compliments to you.
Oh, that's so kind. So you probably got some, cyclone bomb you're going to drop on me later. I know how you suck up to me early to drop the hammer late.
That's true.
Okay, so let's go. Let's just start with this. Let's go to the college football rankings.
Okay, last night.
Okay.
Came out.
Klatster, we got Georgia 1, Bama 2, Oregon 3, Ohio State 4. Are you good with that?
I guess so. I think that I probably have more of a problem outside of that. I still don't think Bama should be number two, but that's fine. I mean, trying to rank teams after Georgia is incredibly difficult.
Yes.
Because there's no team that you can say like, well, they deserve clearly to be the number two team in the country. I just don't think that there is a clear number two team in the country. I think you probably think Alabama is that team. I'm not convinced, in particular with their struggles on the offensive line, their lack of running game against LSU. But then if you look after the four, you just see these wild inaccuracies and things in this ranking.
They bother you.
That chips at their credibility. Putting Michigan over Michigan State 9 days after Michigan State beat the Wolverines is absurd.
Well, it's a go either way game.
Okay, but no. It happened.
Okay,
that's
and then
absurd.
Michigan State
it chips away
whacked.
At their credibility.
See, I disagree. So here's a prime example. So Michigan State should be above them. They were, and then Michigan State goes and gets rolled. Which, by the way, you could almost see it happening because Purdue does that to people. And then so Michigan doesn't have a loss on their schedule that is like wow. So in the end, I'm gonna put Michigan. This is an inch above them. I don't think that's staining credibility. You know the way
I think it does because the game has to matter. It has to matter. When you have the similar record, it has to matter more than the, quote, eye test. And what is the game that you're pointing to for the Michigan Wolverines that you're saying to yourself, like, see, like, they've got an incredibly high ceiling. They haven't had one of those. They've been pretty consistent. They've had a good year. They blew it and lost a game to Michigan State, and that game has to matter. That's one of them. Auburn being ranked where they're at and Penn State not being ranked.
Okay, you know
we
what?
Saw that game play out on the field. That's a joke. Wisconsin's ranked and Penn State's not. We saw that game play out. I mean, so the committee, here's the thing. The trust, folks, in life is very, very difficult to build. Very difficult to build.
Yeah.
It's like a sculpture that's a piece of art. It's very difficult to build, not easy. And it can be broken in an instant. And they have broken the trust.
Okay.
Like, their credibility is in shambles. It's an absurd ranking.
Okay, I'm going to change your world. Watch. So here's the way I look at Christmas, because I got 30 kids. If I get the number one present right, who gives a rip what I put in the stockings?
Oh, okay, see, no. That's where you're wrong.
Okay, so you care about the stockings. To me, get the top
but
four right.
But gifts are individual. No, go ahead. I'm on. Go ahead. Go finish.
Get the top four right. Who gives a rip about 12? You're going to be playing in some bowl game I won't watch. So I care about when my wife and I talk about this. What is the one thing that connects with the kids? They'll open up and go, oh, God, you listen to me. You hear me. What I put in their stockings, you got a Kit Kat, you got a battery. Who gives a rip? That's not going to make Christmas. The stocking is irrelevant. That's just like, oh, God, here at the nickel store, I found something.
Okay.
You deeply care about the present, but God, you lose a lot of sleep on the stocking.
Well, first of all, your analogy loses all credibility.
That's a great analogy.
Well, okay, so two things. One is, kids are stupid, so they only are going to focus on one gift. You all know that. Parents, I'm the parents of three. Like, that's just the way that it is. And these rankings, you can't look at them as a Christmas gift. You have to look at them as a recipe or a construction project, wherein everything matters in how you're building to the outcome. See, you're saying, like, it doesn't matter. Your house doesn't matter. The foundation doesn't matter at all. It just matters if the front door looks really good. Well, and then it blows down. And the big bad wolf comes over and it blows down. This is a recipe. You build your way into the top four based on what's happening behind it. And so when they artificially rank teams in places that they shouldn't, then they're artificially building one resume over the other. And then that impacts this holy grail of the top four. Like, if it's right, then I don't care. But it's only right when they build the recipe behind it in order to prop it up in the top four.
But I mean, how many, again, let's play to the masses, not people who are experts and, like, you have literally 6,000 coaches on your speed dial. To the masses, we look at it and we think Georgia, Bama, Oregon, Ohio State, that's about right. It's subjective. I mean, God, it's all subjective.
That's part of the problem is that we need more objective criteria. And you know what? I rail on the playoff a lot, don't I? I mean,
you
like
really
I do. So you know what?
I think it's
beautiful. I want to be fair.
Piece of art.
By the way, and let me backtrack for a moment. Do you know what makes you so good at your job?
It's a long list, but go ahead.
What makes Colin so good,
yeah,
and all of you, I hear from you, I travel around this country, and I hear from you, and every one of you talk about that this is where you enjoy seeing me. You don't talk about anything other than my appearances on this show,
yeah,
because you have a lot of fans out there. And all of them talk about, you know, what I love about Colin, he'll admit when he's wrong.
Hey,
I mean, to a person, they talk about that segment where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong. It's a brilliant segment that you do. And it establishes your credibility, because now the listener, you viewer, you fan at home, understand that Colin will admit when he's wrong. So your credibility stays high, because they understand that you're just not going to blow up.
So what you're saying is,
this committee will never admit when they've made a mistake. And they get out there and they start talking themselves into these positions that are indefensible.
How about this? I criticize Roger Goodell, and I think he's a really good commissioner. The rest of the media is always hammering him. And I'm
sure.
Like, yeah, it's hard. Commissioner's hard. Nobody likes Manfred. Nobody likes Silver. Nobody likes Bettman. And I said, they should create where he's really butchered it is some, like, domestic violence situations. I'm like, create a committee with women on it. Like, get out of that space. And you would love Goodell, because that's what he butchers, right? Like, why is a commissioner the only guy?
So here's what I'm saying. A fix, right? Like,
my fix is, create a committee, put women on it, get out of that.
Less subjective,
yes,
and more objective.
So here, or this. Why does college football release it and then don't go on television and try to describe it?
That's a problem.
Because
you're trying to describe something and defend something that's indefensible.
Well, and it's all murky and subjective.
Yes.
And you put some guy up there, some AD from Arkansas State. And
it's Iowa, actually. It's Gary Barta, your favorite. You know, so we're going down a road that's like right up your alley here with the Iowa fans.
But
you know what? You're right. And the committee's job as it's currently constructed is impossible because it's too subjective. So let's bring up, I'll tell you what, I've got it ready. I've got a fix. Let's fix it. All right, so rather than me sit here and rail on it, let's start fixing college football.
With each one, I'll discuss. So give me one at a time.
Number one, the first thing that we need to do in college football to help fix the postseason is remove divisions from every conference.
Agree. Number two.
You pit the top two teams against each other in the conference championship game. It fixes a lot of the scheduling imbalances, so on and so forth. We need to dilute the playoff committee's rankings. 13 people in a room. I've talked about this a lot. That's far too few variables. We need to add a poll, add a second committee, add a third committee, add a computer that starts to dilute and add more variables to the equation so that we get wild biases off. Remember, we need to sit in the fat of the bell curve, not on the edges. That's number two. Number three, the postseason needs to diversify TV partnerships.
What's that mean?
Grow more networks involved. They need to grow revenue by having more networks involved. They need to allow for more trust and less conspiracy theories in the system by having more eyeballs and more partners in the postseason. Okay. You don't hear conspiracy theories in the NFL because everybody has access to the postseason. We all, by the way, every single network builds towards the Super Bowl because you know you're going to have it in subsequent years.
Good point.
So it's just better when there's more TV partnerships. And number four, establish more objective criteria. Here's the deal, folks. The college football playoff needs to expand. It should expand. And the college football playoff board of governors need to make that decision soon before December 1st in order for it to happen like 2024. It needs to expand past 8, and it needs to expand somewhere less than 16. And here's why, okay? That's not just some wild number out there. If you go past 6, you're giving automatic berths to some number of conference champions. 8 doesn't allow for enough at-large teams, and it also does not give buys in the first round of the playoff. If you don't give buys, you're not incentivizing top-end conference championship games like, say, Bama-Georgia.
Yeah.
You don't incentivize them to play hard because there's no reason why they would need to win. If you attach a first-round bye and maybe even a home field advantage in the playoffs to that game, now you're incentivizing even the top-end games just as much as you would the back-end games. So my theory is that the sweet spot is either 12 or 14 because you need the first-round bye to incentivize the top-end games at the end of the regular season.
So I'm gonna throw you a curveball.
Okay.
And, you know, they call it a yacker. Anyway, that's a baseball.
The curve is actually the hammer.
Oh, all right. Missed out on that one. So, as a former minor league baseball pitcher, so I'm going to throw something else at you because I like to simplify things for the American consumer.
Yes, yes.
So you talked about me moving off stuff and admitting I'm wrong. And I often...
I think it's important. I think it's one of the best things you do.
Okay, I rail on the American public.
It takes you a long time because there's so much, but it's one of the best things you do.
So I'm going to give the audience an example of where I have moved off something.
Okay.
For 20 years, I was, don't expand the college football
playoff. Same, Colin.
Here's why I moved off it. You got a very complex labyrinth of reasons. I've got one. Yours is literally a maze of intellect. Mine is just finger painting. So there's two problems in college football. Again, I just see two. We got about three teams dominating the sport. I don't know if you can solve that. The second one, I believe, is solvable. And this is why I moved off the rigidity of my... You know, four teams is it. We got a lack of big game problem. We don't have enough Oklahoma against Oregon, Ohio State, Oregon, Auburn, Oregon, LSU, Wisconsin a few years ago, Notre Dame, Georgia. How do you solve it? If you've got, this morning I looked at this. Prep is my middle name. So I took the top eight teams.
Okay.
I took the top eight teams. Georgia, Bama, Oregon, Ohio State, Cincinnati, Michigan, Michigan State, Oklahoma. Look at the four games that would create.
That'd be great.
I would get Georgia, Oklahoma. Now, Georgia would knock the you-know-what out of them, but I'd watch the game.
Now, I would just move it to 12.
Okay.
And then you're going to have four byes. So the top four champions get a bye, and we're going to play on campus. And I think that incentivizes the late great game. So now, because remember now, I don't want Peyton Manning sitting in week 16 in college football, the analogy,
now,
right?
I
need Georgia and Alabama to play that SEC championship game for real with something on the line.
The other thing that is important in this. Now, you could say to yourself, looking at my finger-painting simplistic argument, which is, I just want more Oregon against Michigan.
Okay.
I just want Bama against Michigan State because I don't think this is a great Bama team. I think that's a game. So I just want more big games.
Okay.
When I pour the cocktail, you know, I sit up there on a Saturday afternoon, late afternoon.
Yes, of course. Not early.
Like 5:30 p.m. I just want to watch a good football game, right? So these are also playoff games, meaning they'd be better than bowl games because star players can now just sit out of a bowl game and go, I'm going to be a number one pick.
That's right.
Thibodeau for Oregon.
He's playing.
They're going to play in that game.
That's right.
So
is Aiden Hutchinson.
So
and
it's like the star players are incentivized to play, and I'm a consumer. I get a bunch of – I want to watch. By the way, Ohio State, Cincinnati.
Well,
that's fantastic.
By the way, I'll go to your first problem. You said that there's only three teams that are kind of sucking the air out of college football right now, and that's true. Part of that is because there's only a four-team playoff. You know, so there's only so many programs that can define themselves as ultimately successful in our sport. That's one. And number two, we haven't come up with something in college football that takes non-conference scheduling away from athletic directors, which is archaic and crazy. We need to create an overarching governing body that not only controls the postseason, but also the non-conference, so that we can say to teams that finish first, you win your conference one year, you're going to play conference champions from other conferences the next year, just like the NFL does with the first place schedule and so on and so forth. That would be a way to drive parity in college football and keep more fan bases engaged and also increase the opportunity for upward mobility of programs to build into something better.
Okay, one more topic. We're late here, but I think this is valuable. Is that I have this kind of worldview on college football programs. You're either a six-year rebuild or a three-year.
Mm.
Okay, so even Nick Saban lost to Louisiana Monroe his first year and Utah his second. So the USC right now, if a good coach goes in, that's 3 years.
Correct.
Alabama, Ohio State. Now, Oklahoma, Bob Stoops won a natty his second year.
Second year.
But there's about 8 to 10 of them. You probably can do it in two, but those are three-year rebuilds.
Yep.
And then there's what I would call six-year rebuilds. Like Chip Kelly, UCLA Stadium's not on campus. They're the second biggest college football brand in their city. I think Nebraska is a six-year rebuild, not a three-year. So everybody wants Scott Frost out. And my takeaway was, no, Nebraska finally got it right because he's in year four. And people go, well, they're not winning. Well, it's a six-year rebuild.
That's
and
right.
I believe if you watch Nebraska play this year, games are getting closer.
Way closer.
So
in fact,
I was for bringing this guy back.
I thought it was a great decision. And remember, their new athletic director is Trev Alberts.
That's right.
Who's a Nebraska legend. Now, they didn't actually cross paths and play together, but each of them are legends in their own right in the Nebraska community. Nebraska absolutely got this right, keeping Scott Frost. They are light years better than what they were 2 and 3 years
no
ago.
No question.
They've played four teams in the CFP's top eight. Four. And the first three of them, they lost by a total of 13, and then they were only down by six to Ohio State before Ohio State kicked that field goal. They are way better. And by the way, all you have to do, talk to the other coaches in the conference. Ryan Day, in our conversations with him last week, he was like, man, I haven't been this nervous for a game in a long time. This is going to be, and he said, and I quote, one of, if not the best team we've faced this year. They've faced Oregon. They've faced Penn State. He was very complimentary of what Nebraska was doing, in particular on defense, and I think that they did the right thing with Scott. Now, he made an adjustment to his contract in order to make some more room for assistants that he's now going to hire after making adjustments
Harbaugh
on his offensive staff.
Did a similar thing.
Harbaugh.
So, you know, you guys, all you fans out there, y'all want to fire the coaches. You got to cut, like OBJ, what are you?
What are you?
There's about eight programs in the country, maybe 10. You're a three-year rebuild. And then the rest of you are 6 years
or,
in Nebraska.
Or more. Some are six or more. And think about this. Now Nebraska doesn't have a genuine tie to Texas. In 2010-11,
that's right.
The last time they were really competing on the top end of their conference, they had 20 players from Texas. Now they have seven. Why? Because
they're in the wrong conference.
They're in, you could say, the wrong conference.
Yeah. All right, Clad. I thought we made...
There was a lot of strides made there.
In today's thing. I will say this, though. You're spending a lot of time on the stockings. They're just M&Ms, Kit Kats. That's all that's in that stuff. That's what Auburn is this year. They're a Kit Kat bar. You can't worry. They're not like something you get at Best Buy.
You know what you're worried about?
What?
The Christmas gift that gets thrown out in 2 months. I'm worried about building houses that last forever.
Oh, boy. Jeez. Yeah.
Gotcha.
All right. That's a lot to end on. A lot to unpack there.
Very heavy.
Emotionally.
It was very heavy.
Really
I thought it was more cordial than normal, though, which I appreciate. I appreciate.
Well, you
I felt like I complimented you effusively.
Listen, I'm not going to lie about that. Vanity goes a long way with me.
Yep. I want to keep coming back.
That's
so
right.
I knew after last week I had to compliment him very heavily. Called you a dictator last week.
I know. That hurt. bad week of sleep.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
This week, the most electrifying player in the league is on Thursday Night Football. Lamar Jackson and the Ravens square off against the Dolphins. It all starts at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific on Fox NFL Network and streaming on Prime Video.
You know, it's interesting. There was this thing with Lamar Jackson for several years. I can't win playing from behind. Now this year he's won four times trailing in the fourth. This past weekend he was great. This is what drives me nuts about American media. Political and sports. It drives me nuts. And I try to admit, yeah, I screwed up on that. Everybody, incessantly for 3 years, he can't play from behind. Then in the year in which he proves, hell, not only can I do it, I'm pretty good at it, nobody talks about it. If you want the American public to trust you, I don't like advice. Here's my opinion. I built up credibility for 25 years because when I whiff, I say it. I try to. Okay, 90% of you out there crushing Lamar are nowhere to be found on this topic. I'm not saying you have to spend a day on it. He's crushed it so convincingly, maybe it's not that fascinating. But man, a lot of you guys out there, you young men and women who are in sports, you spent 3 years on that thing. You got to come clean. Like, you lost on that one. I admit it with Giannis. I said with Giannis. I kept saying with Giannis, he can't shoot. So if you get ahead of him, he plays really good downhill. But trailing... And then this year, he broke through, won the finals. It's like, good for him. He deserves it. He kind of disproved that he can play with a lead. He can pay from, probably plays better with a lead than from behind, but he can come back. You got to own it on Lamar. You guys spent 3 years, and by the way, I was a critic of Lamar. But you can't spend 3 years on a topic. You're wrong convincingly, and it's not a topic anymore. Lamar is as productive. I'm not saying he's the best quarterback, but just in terms of productivity, yards I get from him. I think he's number one in the league today. He's number one in the league today. Now, again, he doesn't throw the prettiest ball. When you watch him in any game, early or late, I would be terrified to play against him. You have no idea what's coming next. There are no boxes for him. He just flies out of them. So it's just, you know, I'm not giving advice here, but if we want to be credible as what we do, we have to acknowledge, like, Lamar's productive. And by the way, when you draft a quarterback, all of them have strengths, all of them have weaknesses. Could I not argue the number one thing is, do you win and are you productive? Two boxes, check, check. He's legit. He wins 80% of the games. He's crazy productive. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News,
sponsored by Mercedes-Benz. The best or nothing.
It's my issue with Jalen Suggs is he's not winning a lot now. Not Jalen Suggs. Jalen Hurts. Jalen Suggs, a basketball player I love. Jalen Hurts. He's not winning a lot now. But he is productive. Like when you watch the Eagles offense, dude's picking up first downs. Now, I don't think he's close to Lamar as a thrower of the football. Lamar throws a beautiful deep ball. But it is the one thing I watch is, if you're productive, I'll be more patient on the winning part.
Well, I think that's why people were so patient with Jameis.
He was productive.
He was productive. Now he was productive for opposing defenses as well.
Yeah.
But the production is what made you feel like, okay, if we can fix that, he's putting up the numbers offensively, wait it out. So Odell has cleared waivers, and now we are discussing where he could possibly end up. Jeff Howe of The Athletic reported that the Patriots have contacted Odell's camp, and they are one of six teams interested in him. Odell has long admired the Patriots, and there is a question of whether he will fit into the, quote, Patriot way. I think that's nonsense. I get it. The Patriots have this culture and this brand.
Yeah.
And I'm not being condescending of it. It is a real thing. But we've seen them bring in stars. We've seen stars flourish there. Tom Brady is a pretty big deal. Now, he bought into that, but Gronk is a big personality. He did fine there for years.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's not as boxed in as I think people really believe.
This has been the one place where I think it's a good team. I think this in New Orleans, good team with an absolute hole in the team.
No, he would be very useful there and used there, but I don't think it's a good landing spot at all. It doesn't make any sense. Mac Jones is a rookie quarterback. Yeah. You are Odell. It is November. The season's over in February. Go somewhere where you can play with a skilled quarterback who is in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And can win some multiple playoff games.
That's why the Green Bay suggestion...
Green Bay, to me, is the only place that makes sense.
Yeah, no,
now, I think that the Chiefs could start to put it together, but they certainly haven't as of yet. Mahomes is struggling.
Yeah.
I think Green Bay is the only place that actually makes sense. If the purpose of this move and this year, because he is going to be a free agent next year,
yeah.
If the purpose of this year is to get with a quarterback who can get you the ball.
Production, yeah.
You can rebrand your career. You can eliminate questions about how much productivity you can bring in and how valuable you are. And then you go to another team because we don't know if Aaron Rodgers is going to be there next year. I don't believe he's going to be.
Yeah.
Devontae Adams might not be there next year. Like, who knows what's going to go on? So I think Green Bay is the place that makes the most sense. Now, he's owed $7.25 million in salary for the rest of the season. The Patriots only have $4 million in cap space. So about a third of the league can absorb it without moving money around. Schefter said yesterday that Odell would like to go to a team that is a contender, obviously. And Diana Rossini said this morning that Odell is honing in on the Chiefs, Packers, and Saints per league sources. So he has 17 receptions for 232 yards and no touchdowns this year. Go somewhere where a quarterback can get you the ball.
All right.
I like the Patriots. I think he would get a lot of production there.
Patriots, Saints have a hole. He does fill the hole.
I like the Patriots more than the Saints.
Yeah.
I like Mac Jones more than Trevor Siemian right now.
Thank you. Yes.
And the Patriots host the Browns on Sunday. A very interesting game.
Oh, one of the best games of the year. I honestly think this is a defining moment for the Browns franchise.
I think it's a big deal for both of these teams.
And I love Cleveland in this game. I think it's a really important game for the Cleveland Browns.
Last week was a huge game.
And
they performed
well. A++.
Yep. So they're 1.5-point favorites, according to Fox Bet, are the Patriots. So bad season turned worse for Sam Darnold. His throwing shoulder has a crack in his scapula.
So his throwing shoulder.
Yes. He will miss several weeks, according to Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network. He suffered the shoulder injury against the Falcons and played through it against the Patriots in week 9 before tests revealed the extent of the injury, which might have had something to do with some of those turnovers.
I mean, one of those throws didn't make sense. He was 6 feet away.
Well, this wouldn't make sense then that he's playing through that kind of an injury. Now he is obviously someone who throws interceptions quite frequently, so it could have not. But PJ Walker will start while he's out. They've also signed Matt Barkley as a backup quarterback. He's been struggling this year, 59.5 completion percentage, 7 passing touchdowns, 11 interceptions.
For the record, I think what Sam is now viewed as, and he'll be viewed as going forward, is a really gifted backup. By the way, I know all you Baker fans say, what about Baker? If Baker doesn't make the playoffs, with that O-line and that run game and those skill people and that defense, there are going to be people around this league that see Baker as a really talented backup. Because we don't know if Cleveland sees him as a franchise guy. So you can get cocky on that. But I think Darnold is viewed as, he can win you a game.
I think Darnold is in a different situation than Baker. Darnold is in his second spot now. He had a golden opportunity here, and it's not working.
At all.
Baker stabilized a franchise that has been dysfunctional for 20 years.
Stabilized?
So, I mean, we talk about the Browns as if they are contenders.
Well, that's because they're interesting.
But they're interesting because they're competitive. When they weren't competitive, they weren't interesting.
Well,
now,
be.
Andrew Berry and Stefanski have done a great job with the roster, and I think Stefanski was coach of the year. But
it's one of the second best roster in the league, third.
Listen, I agree that Baker has limitations. I think sometimes you just gotta be a little grateful as a franchise and not get crazy.
All right,
this is not.
I think sometimes as a young quarterback, you have to be grateful.
Well, the Cowboys lost to the Broncos on Sunday, 30-16. And Jerry Jones did not mince words when he talked about how they performed.
Overconfidence. This is just me internally. I think when we got down 13, I just kept thinking, my goodness, we're just digging ourselves a little hole here. It's going to be halftime before we get out of it. The thought of getting beat was not in my mind. Our coaching staff, our players thought we were ready. We weren't. Yeah, it's as flat as any team that I've seen. And then we basically played what seemed to be lackadaisical.
It happens. 14-point loss, worst of the season.
Yeah.
Throw out the worst, throw out the best. That's what you are.
Yeah.
They were down 30-0. That was the largest deficit of Dak's career and the largest for the Cowboys since week 10 of 2001. So this was a bad game for the Cowboys. There's no way around that. The defense allowed 190 rushing yards. That's not going to work. Now, they do host the Falcons on Sunday and are favored by 8.5 points.
Yeah, I think they're I pity.
Are the Falcons going to sneak in?
No, I pity the Falcons. I'm staying away from this game, but I pity the Falcons because I think Dallas, it's one thing when you lose. But Dallas, if you watch this game, they were pushed around for 3.5 hours. So your manhood was quiet. It's not like you lost on an officiating call. Like when you get pushed around at home, it really classified as almost like the Rams lost to the Titans. Oh, that's embarrassing.
Yeah, it was It was an embarrassing loss for
the
Cowboys.
When you're a man in the NFL and you're being pushed around by the other guy for 3.5 hours on national television. That, like, the Rams offensive line, that was embarrassing, and the Cowboys lines, especially their offensive line, that was embarrassing.
It was bad, but I don't know. I think I'm staying away from the line on this game.
Yeah, I am.
But I don't know that it's going to be a blowout. I don't know that I feel bad for the Falcons in this spot, but I do think the Cowboys will come back more focused and better. Dak was out of practice all week as well, so there are not excuses. Sometimes there's just reasons. And this was a bad game for them. I think they bounced back this week.
I totally agree. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm George Reister, host of the Reister or Wrong podcast. This is the intersection where sports, business, society, and pop culture meet the truth. Absolute fire on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Facts only. Make sure you check your feelings at the door because no BS is allowed. We keep it 100. This is where real conversations happen. Listen to the Right or Wrong podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
By the way, on the OBJ situation, Green Bay has reportedly made him an offer, but it was a kind of a offer that he'll turn down. What would I do? You can make a bunch of arguments. You know, it'd be very hard for me if I was OBJ to not go to Green Bay. I get a great quarterback. They don't really have a consistent two. They have a good O-line in a running game, meaning linebackers can't cheat. There's going to be space here. I can go into the slot. I can get open. You know, you got to when you got A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones now, that running game for Green Bay is a thing. What does that mean? Well, linebackers, a lot of good play action stuff. So there's going to be there's a lot of second and fives. I mean, that's why Jarvis Landry is a slot so valuable. When you run the football, God, that's just a great place to be in the slot. You're going to get a lot of easy stuff. A lot of uncluttered area. So I like the idea that I go with a team with a good emerging offensive line, young in a couple spots, but emerging, a very good run game. I got a really smart veteran quarterback who can get me in and out of trouble, an audible, get me the ball. And we know 54% of the targets for the Packers are to Devontae Adams. We know Aaron would love, that's why I went and got Randall Cobb. He's trying to find a two. Just Randall Cobb's kind of past that space in his career. So that's what I would struggle with. Nick Wright talked earlier why OBJ should not pick the Saints. Many feel the favorite.
I will be very disappointed, not like parentally disappointed, but like as a fan disappointed in Odell if he picks the Saints. Because in my opinion, he'll be picking home and targets over what has been the hurdle, which is quarterback play. I want to see Odell with a star quarterback. So go to Green Bay, go to Kansas City, go to Seattle, go somewhere like that. Don't go to Trevor Siemian just because it's home. That would be my advice.
Yeah, and by the way, now you could say, Colin, what about Kansas City? But right now, Kansas City, quarterback's broken. I mean, that was kind of the issue in Cleveland. We kind of felt like the offense was broken. Green Bay's humming. Green Bay is humming. So everybody's like, well, you know, he doesn't want to play in Green Bay. Get over it. Go win games. You're not signing a 5-year deal. He's trying to reboot his career. Now, he'll get more targets in New Orleans. That I don't doubt. And nobody would blame him if Trevor Siemian can't squeeze the ball into a window or sails one over his head. I do think New England with a rookie quarterback And the Saints with Trevor Siemian, there's no doubt he's going to get looks. But folks, this game is not complicated. Green Bay does a lot of things well. You're not going to be able to double OBJ, Devontae Adams. Because they run the ball so effectively, there's going to be a lot of space for him in the slot to get open underneath coverage. Green Bay would be the choice for me. I do think New England is fascinating with the improvement of Mac Jones. And it's a great coaching staff. I don't think that's a terrible call. Some would disagree. I don't think it's terrible. Mac Jones getting better. I mean, you just look at the efficiency numbers. Mac Jones is getting better. And they got nobody over the top. Like, nobody. And I think Mac Jones is better than Trevor Siemian. All right, first ever National Check Your Wipers Day is November 16th. Check Your Wipers Day. Enter for a chance to win a Michelin New York City experience for two. That's cool. Enter. For official rules, visit wipersday.com. Wipersday.com. No purchase necessary. Visit wipersday.com for more information, a chance to get a trip for two to New York City. Hour three next.